It's been a while since we've had a baby dedication, but we're doing that today. Hallelujah. There's three a little above average kids right here, I think. So when we dedicate children, we do it, the precedent is set by Hannah when she brought Samuel and dedicated him to God and to God's purposes. And we don't baptize children here. To get baptized, you got to be aware of what you're doing. But we do dedicate, and we're just presenting the child and the future of the children to the Lord and asking God to direct their path. And really, we're praying for the parents as much as we do the kids, because they need all the wisdom and grace and insight that they can get. So if you would just pray with us today as we dedicate Kelsey and Caius and Uriah today. Hallelujah. Well, Lord, we just thank you for this family. It's growing exponentially, it seems like. And Lord, we just bless, Lord, these children, all three of them. Father, you have a plan and a purpose for each one. You have a destiny for each one. You have a calling on their life. You have an assignment for them. And we pray, Father, that your kingdom would come in their lives, that your will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. I pray that you would guide every step of their way. Give them a single-mindedness, a focus to put their hands to the plow and neither look to the left nor right, but plow that straight furrow for you. Lord, we pray for the parents. Lord, give them the wisdom, the insight they need to each and every child. They're all different. They all need to be raised a little differently. And so, Lord, give them that insight. Give them the courage that they need to discipline when they need to discipline. Give them the insight to know when to encourage when they need encouragement. And just pour out your Spirit and bless this family. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Worship team, thank you for leading us in worship today. That was so awesome. And that always includes the sound and PowerPoint people back there behind the scenes. Hallelujah. Well, I want to finish what I started last week, my message, Achieving Your God-Given Dreams. And when I use the word dream, again, I'm just going to review just for a minute for those that might not have been here. When I use the word dream, I'm not talking about, the kind that you have at night. I'm talking about, well, I'll just give you a couple definitions of what I'm talking about when I talk about dream. A dream is a mental image of what can be and not what is. So a dream is not about your present circumstances. It's about future possibilities. A dream is a God-inspired vision of a better future that fills you with hope. A dream is an invitation to become what you were created to be. A dream is seeing possibilities where others only see problems. And we mentioned, when it comes to dreams, there's actually five kind of people. There's people with no dreams. They just don't have any dream. They're just going through the life, going through the motions, get up, go to work, come back, find the remote. That's not good. God has created us to be people of vision and dreams, to be people who live with an expectancy of something more happening in the future. How many believe God has something more for you than you are experiencing right now? That's part of that dream capability that God has within us. And He wants us to live with that expectancy that God wants to do some great things in and through our lives. And people with no dreams, they have no motivation. They're just like a piece of driftwood floating around wherever life takes them. No goals, no vision. And that's not good. Proverbs 29:18 said, where there's no vision, no dreams, the people perish. That doesn't mean you're going to drop dead if you don't have a dream. It does mean that you are going to just simply exist instead of really live. And then there's people with the wrong dream. You've got a dream, but it's not God's dream for your life. And when you got a dream and it's not God's dream, really it's all about you. It's kind of self-centered. It's things that you want to do, you want to accomplish, lift you up, whatever that is. And there's folks with a stale dream. You've had a dream in the past, but you've let it die. And then there's folks with a vague dream. You know, you got some vague thoughts about, and you're, you know, rumbling around about what you'd like to see happen in the future, but they've never been clarified. And then, this is where we want to be. There's folks that have a transcendent dream. The word transcendent means I'm doing something that actually matters in light of eternity. You know, I'm not just living for myself. I'm accomplishing God's purpose in my life, and I'm here to make a difference. So we're looking at five keys to achieving your dreams. I know I only had four last week, but hey, it multiplied. It's my sermon. I can do what I want. Give me another week, we'll have six. I don't know. But five keys to achieving your dreams. We're looking at Habakkuk chapter 2 and drawing these principles out of these three scriptures in Habakkuk chapter 2. Habakkuk had a dream, but that dream was crushed by circumstances outside of his control. And we mentioned chapter 1, all he did was complain about it, complain about his circumstances. God, when is this going to change? God, why is this happening to me? And of course, we know that complaining never works. And then he decided to change his strategy. And this, we find this in Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Do we have that? There we go. It says this, Habakkuk changed his strategy. He said, I'm going to stand on my guard post. In other words, he's going to get alone with God. I'm going to station myself on the wall. I will watch to see what he will say to me and what answer I will give to what he will give to my complaint. Then the Lord answered, said, write the vision. Make it clear on tablets so that anyone can read it quickly. The vision will still happen at the appointed time. It hurries toward its goal. It won't be a lie. Listen, won't be a lie. If it's delayed, wait for it. It will certainly happen. It won't be late. So in these three verses, we find five keys to achieving your God-given dreams. Number one, get alone with God. Visions and dreams are birthed in the secret place with God. Dreams are incubated in the presence of God. That's all we can say about it. Go back and listen to the message last week. We talked a whole lot about that. And then the second, we covered the first two steps last week. Let God impart a vision in your mind for a better future. A vision is a mental picture of a better future than you're experiencing right now. Habakkuk said, there, where's there? There is alone with God. There, I will wait to see what the Lord says. Now that's kind of a strange phrase when you think about it. I'm going to wait to see what the Lord says. He didn't say, I'm going to wait to hear what the Lord says. I'm going to wait to see what the Lord says. How can you see something that somebody says? There's only one way, dreams and visions. It's that mental, that capacity that God has given us to have mental images in our minds or in our hearts to see some things that are not yet here. So the world would call that imagination, and the Bible calls it vision. It's the same thing. Faith uses this imaging capacity that God has given us to see the things that God wants to do in our life and in our future. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith means putting our full confidence in the things we hope for, and it means, listen to this, being certain of things we cannot see. How can you be certain of things that you cannot see? There's only one way. It's by faith. It's by that imaging capacity. It's by that ability that God has given us on the inside. He designed us this way to be able to. It's like there's a canvas in our heart that He wants to put some images on that we can see some things that are not yet happening, maybe in our family right now, in our city, in our nation, in our future. But yet, if we have no vision for the future, we, as the scripture says, we perish. We cast off restraint. One version says we run wild. We need that ability on the inside to see some things that are not yet here to give us focus and give us direction and give us motivation to just get up in the morning and get out of bed. I mean, if you don't have any vision, why don't you just stay in bed all day? Eat bonbons and watch reruns of Gilligan's Island or whatever you like. I don't know. You know, Walt Disney, we mentioned this, but he died before Disney World was completed. And at the dedication of that theme park, someone mentioned to his wife, it's too bad Walt wasn't here to see that. And she responded, he did see it, and that's why it's here. Before one scoop of dirt was moved to build that thing. In his imagination, he had walked every street of that place. He had ridden on the rides. He had seen families enjoying the theme park. And one of his favorite statements was, if you can dream it, you can do it. And Albert Einstein, he said, imagination, or we can say the word vision, is the preview of life's coming attractions. Think about that. Vision is the preview of life's coming attractions. Talking about your life. And then step three, we're into new stuff here. Write down the vision, write down your vision and your dreams and your goals. The verse says, and then the Lord answered, write the vision, make it clear on tablets that anyone can read it quickly. Everyone say, write the vision. Write the vision. You know, studies have shown that people who write down their vision and dreams and goals are 42% more likely to achieve them than those that don't. That's significant, don't you think? Those who write down their visions, their dreams, and their goals are 42% more likely to achieve them than those that don't. So some of you, man, you've had dreams and visions rattling around in your head. You've got ideas, but you have never written them down, and so they're vague and they're undefined. Writing the vision helps clarify it, takes it from the abstract to the concrete. And listen, writing things down is just simply more powerful than thinking them. One unknown author, I'm sure he's known to himself, he's just unknown to me, said, written goals have a way of transforming wishes into wants, can'ts into cans, dreams into plans, and plans into reality. Isn't that good? So listen, it's not enough to think it, you gotta ink it. Tell somebody right now, you gotta ink it. That means you gotta write it down. So, in your quiet time, how many have a quiet time with the Lord in the morning? Four of us. Okay, we gotta preach. Next series is on quiet time. How many have a quiet time with the Lord? Okay, that's better, but it's not everybody. We need to move in that direction. In your quiet time that you are starting tomorrow, if you haven't been doing it, ask the Holy Spirit to help you write out your visions and dreams. Lord, do you want me to be a person of vision and dreams? And write those out. You can have dreams for a lot of things. Dreams for ministry, dreams for your family, for your kids, for business, for finances. Anything. I mean, God wants you to dream and have vision and write those things down. And then write down one or two things every day that you can do to move you toward the direction of fulfilling that dream. Unless you do that, it's probably not going to happen. It's going to continue to rattle around in your head year after year. Some of you got some books that you want to write, but you've never written down any goals about that, or never written down any clarification about what kind of book that you want to write perhaps, and when you're going to begin that. And so I encourage you just begin to write some of those things down. Some of you got, you know, vision and ideas for songs or a business or a ministry, but because you've never written it down, it's never materialized. Write it down. Step four in achieving your dreams is understand that your dreams and visions have an appointed time for their fulfillment. Habakkuk 2 again, the vision will still happen at the appointed time. Everybody say appointed time. It hurries toward its goal. It won't lie. If it's delayed, wait for it. It will certainly happen. It won't be late. God's never late. But God has a timing. He has a timing for the fulfillment of your vision and your dreams. God knows when you are prepared for the fulfillment of that dream. And so many times people get ahead of God. They get ahead of God's timing. They get a vision. They get a dream. They get a prophetic word. And they just take off running. Now's the time. But no, you may not be prepared for that. God's timing is everything. And don't get discouraged when the dream or the vision doesn't happen immediately. Just realize that God has a time. Don't give up on the dream. Understand it, that God is preparing you with the maturity. Listen, everybody say maturity. Maturity. He's preparing you with the maturity and the experience that you need to achieve that dream. You know, Joseph, he had a dream of being a powerful ruler, but it took 13 years of being a slave and a prisoner before he was prepared for that role, to step into that role. Moses had a dream of delivering the people of Israel, but it took 40 years on the backside of the desert before he was ready for it. David, he had to wait 13 years after he was anointed to be king of Israel, 13 years before he actually stepped into that role. And all that time, man, he was running from Saul, and he was hiding in caves, but he was growing in the Spirit, man. He was growing in his knowledge of God's Word. He was growing in his ability to trust God. And finally, at the right time, at the appointed time, he was able to step into that role, and he was ready for it. He was prepared for it. God needs time to develop the character in us that will sustain the dream. That's good. That's better. You should have said an amen right there. You missed a wonderful opportunity to say amen. God needs time to develop the character in us that will sustain the dream. Listen, amen, thank you. Maturity doesn't happen overnight. I wish it did. God has to grow us and mature us for success. We've got to have the character to handle the promotion that He has in mind for us. How many know gifts and talents can get you to a place where your character can't sustain you? And that's a dangerous place. We see it all the time. I mean, gifted musicians and pastors and athletes and all kinds of people, they achieve success through their talents, but they don't have the character to sustain it. And they fall. And it's a terrible, terrible thing to see. We got to trust God's timing. God knows just the right time for our dreams to become a reality. Galatians 6:9 says, "Let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season," everybody say due season, "we shall reap if we do not lose heart." Due season means the divinely appointed time for reaping. The divinely appointed time for reaping. God has a divinely appointed time for your harvest, for the reality of your dream. You planted seeds of prayer, you planted seeds of preparation, and you will reap the harvest of your dreams if you do not give up and you wait for God's timing. The vision is for an appointed time. Wait for it. So I encourage you, keep planning, keep preparing, keep serving, keep pressing in. Hold on to that vision. Hold on to that vision. Don't let it go. Don't let it die. But just realize it's for an appointed time. And then the fifth key, final key, is don't limit God with small dreams. Speaking of Old Testament Israel, the psalmist said in Psalm 78:41, "Yes, again and again they tempted God, and they limited the Holy One of Israel." They limited the Holy One of Israel. How do human beings limit the Holy One of Israel? We limit Him by small dreams, small vision. Hold on. I'm going to save your ears. We limit Him by small dreams, small vision, and small prayers. Amen? You know, there's only one thing that's going to be able to stop you from achieving your God-given dream. You know what that is? It's you. You. You're the only one that's going to ever be able to stop you from achieving your God-given dream. I'm not talking about just any dream. I'm talking about your God-given dream. God's going to put dreams and visions in your heart that you initially are going to think are bigger than you can handle. And you're going to come up with all kinds of excuses why you can't achieve that dream. You listening to me today? I'm telling you how it goes down. God has some bigger dreams for you than you think you have the ability to handle. And you're going to come up with all kinds of excuses why you can't do that thing. It happened to Jeremiah. God called him to be a prophet to the nations. Jeremiah 1, it says, "The word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you before you were born. I set you apart." Listen, "I appointed you as a prophet to the nations." That was Jeremiah's God-given assignment. Jeremiah responded, "Alas, sovereign Lord, I don't know how to speak. I'm too young." But the Lord said, "Do not say I'm too young. The Lord just doesn't punch, he doesn't pull punches, does he? I mean, he'll just hit you right in the, right between the eyeballs. Don't say I'm too young. You must go to everyone I send to you and say whatever I command you. Don't be afraid of them, for I am with you and I will rescue you, says the Lord. You're going to be tempted to disqualify yourself from achieving your God-given dreams because of feelings of inadequacy and fear. Those two things. You're going to be tempted to disqualify yourself. I'm telling you the truth here. You're going to be tempted to disqualify yourself from stepping into the dream that God has for you because of fear and feelings of inadequacy. I don't have what it takes. Jeremiah said, I'm too young. Moses said, I can't speak. Peter said, I failed too many times to accomplish the vision. You know, I know how they feel because I disqualified myself from ministry for years. From this ministry, this kind of ministry. You know, I told myself I don't have the right personality to be a pastor. I'm shy. I'm an introvert, you know, and you need to be an extrovert to be a pastor. I'm not a gifted communicator. I don't have the right education. I've failed too many times in my personal life. I don't have the right spiritual gifts. And for goodness sake, I don't have enough hair. You know, I mean, you gotta have hair to be a real good preacher. You gotta have Jensen Franklin hair. I mean, that dude's got hair. But God finally got it through to me. And I know this is a little slogan, but it's so true. God doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the called. He's really not looking for your talent all that much. He's really not looking for your ability all that much. He's looking for your availability. He's looking for folks that say, here am I. Use me. I don't know how you're going to do it, God. I don't really see much you can use. But whatever I've got, here it is. And I'm telling you, the more you give to God, the more He will multiply it. I think about that woman. You know, the prophet said, what do you got in your house? And I just got this little bit of oil. But when she used the thing that God had given her, what did God do? He multiplied it. He multiplied it. He multiplied it. I've just seen that so many times over my life. You know, there was a time when my parents asked me to lead the worship team and lead worship. Man, I could hardly sing, and I am not lying. When I was a teenager, I couldn't sing. I was like a monotone. I could not carry a tune, and I just gave whatever I had, and it was very, very little, and it just seemed like, you know, God just multiplied. And I see it with the musicians here, folks that have just started in the last couple of years, as they use what God has given them, I just see it multiplied and multiplied and multiplied. I mean, every week, every month, it just seems like there's more anointing, there's more ability, there's more skill, just more that's happening. That's the way God works. Just give Him what you've got. However little that is, and God will take that and He will multiply it. Amen? And again, you may not feel like you've got the ability to achieve that dream. I'm telling you, God is going to give you the power to do it. Ephesians 3, verse 20 in the Amplified says, now to Him who is able. I just want to stop right there for a second. Do you actually believe that God is able? Do you? You believe He's able? That's where faith starts. Believing God is able. You believe He's able to heal your marriage? You believe He's able to get you that better paying job that you're looking for? You believe He's able to heal your body? How about bring you the right spouse at the right time? You believe He's able to do that? You believe He's able to achieve that dream, help you achieve that dream that He's placed on the inside? We've got to believe that He's able. Now to Him who is able to carry out His purposes. If we're chasing our purposes, we're not going to get God's help. His purposes, and do superabundantly above all that we ask or dare to ask or think, or infinitely beyond our greatest prayers, hopes, and dreams, according to His power that is work within us. To Him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations forever and ever. It's not God, it's not our power that's accomplishing the dream. It's God's power in us. Amen? That way God gets the glory. And as I think I mentioned it last week, no matter how big your vision is, no matter how big your dream is, it's never going to be so big that God says, whoa, that's above my pay grade. I can't handle that. You outdreamed me. Wow. You got a vision so big that I can't even handle it. That's never going to happen. How many know that? No matter how big your dream is, God can do more. No matter how big you pray, God's able to answer more. No matter how big you imagine, God is able to do more. So, just in conclusion, I believe God is wanting to enlarge our vision and our dreams. I feel that so strongly in my spirit. I felt it again this morning. You know, I was looking at my notes early this morning. Sometimes you wonder, man, do I even have anything to preach? But as I began to pray and prepare, I just felt God just stirring in me. Yes, He's wanting to do something in us individually and as a church in terms of enlarging our vision, enlarging our dreams. He's wanting to step it up where we allow Him to stretch us to begin to believe for more. Just a bigger dream, a bigger vision. I believe that He wants to do something in our church in that area. Up in a prayer room, we have a book, a three-ring binder, that's full of prophecies that have been prophesied over the church over the last 40 years. By George Watkins is one of them, but many, many others. I want to share a couple of those as we close. Because these are prophetic words. You know, the scripture says if you receive the prophet, you receive the prophet's reward. In other words, if you believe that God is in the prophet, you believe that God has anointed that prophet, put him in that office, and that he's speaking a word that's a valid word, then you can benefit that. If you think, well, it's just a man and he's standing up saying something, well, you're not going to receive the benefit of that. But I believe in the prophet. I believe in that office of the prophet. I believe God uses them to communicate. So I just want to share just a little bit. There's just a few of these prophecies. So here's one. The Lord has desired to influence this city through His people. The Lord has desired to move upon this place in a way that is beyond your understanding. For lo, even as the wind does blow across this place, and he was referring to the natural wind that blows up and down the gorge, even so, my spirit has desired to move through this area and through this gorge. He wants to move by his spirit and cause his hand to rest upon this city. There are hearts that have been considered hard and people who have been considered irreligious. And the Lord would say, I have been preparing hearts and I will move by my spirit. The Lord would dawn a new day upon you. Whew. I don't know when these were given, but they're just as valid today as they were then. The Lord would dawn a new day upon you. The day in which you would see the city shaken. Help me get through this, Lord. The day in which you would see this city shaken. You know, we prayed these things for decades. In which you would see this house become a house of prosperity, a house of influence in this area. Men of distinction in the community would begin to make note and take note of this house. Maybe I should get somebody else to read this. For the Lord shall not do a small thing here. He shall do a mighty thing. Prepare your hearts and let there come a hungering and a thirsting after God. A thirsting that will say in your spirit, oh God, make me able to contain what you would do. For it shall not just come upon the leadership, though it will come upon them first, but it will come upon everyone in the assembly who will allow his spirit to make them new. There will come an anointing from the presence of the Lord your God. It will rest upon you as a fire. Wow. And it will burn into the depth of your being until there is no quenching it, and no one will be able to blot it out and to stomp it out. But it shall mount up in God as a mighty furnace, giving forth testimony of the living presence of the Lord your God. The enemy's work in this town shall be frustrated. Can you bring me a Kleenex? He shall no longer rule and reign. Thank you, honey. But I, the Lord, will set up a new ruler. I will set up a throne of my authority in this house, from which will go forth my joy and my liberation into this area. Look unto the Lord of the universe and see Him as the one who shall cause you to stand and be mighty in the Lord your God. For in the days past the Lord has moved, but in the future He shall move yet mightily again. Be not despondent, don't let your heads cast down, but be lifted up in the Lord your God, and He shall move out from your midst. He shall flow forth from your midst as that which would burst forth and come into those who are needy, and they shall drink of the presence of the living God, and they shall be satisfied. I want to read one more. This has to actually do with our worship team. You have sown in tears, but you're going to reap in joy. The reproduction, the harvest is coming. He's going to use your musicians in a profound way with a special anointing to perform beyond their own abilities, beyond their own practice time, beyond their own knowledge, beyond their own understanding of music. They are going to perform way beyond that. God is going to cause that anointing to attract people from the outside who love that kind of music. He's going to use the musicians in this special way to influence the influx of people that He's bringing to you. He wants you to rejoice today and know that even as you enlarge your borders and strengthen the stakes and set them out there and make room for the people, that something is going to be happening in your families and in your hearts. Can somebody say amen? Let's stand. Hallelujah. I don't know why that moved me so much, but you know what I want to do, actually? Since that had to do with our worship team, can I get our worship team down here? I want us to pray over our worship team and release that word in them. So, worship team, it doesn't matter if you were on. Just come on up. Check, check, check. There we go. Hallelujah. You know what I want to do? Why don't you guys get in a circle? Get in a circle. And I want some of you to come around them. Tighter circle. Tighter circle. And I want some folks, prayer team folks, or just elders in the house, or mature folks, just to come up and let's pray over them and just release this word. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. It's not about us. It's about you, Lord. It's what you want to do. It's your dream. It's your word, your prophetic word. So, hallelujah. In Jesus' name, we just release that anointing that you prophesied would happen in this house. In Jesus' name. Let it come. Let it come. Let it fall upon them. An ability above their own skill. An anointing that will lift them up in the presence of God. In Jesus' name, we release that now. In Jesus' name. Pour it out. Pour it out. Pour it out. Pour out that anointing in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Pour it out of their innermost being. Hallelujah. Streams of praise and worship and adoration will flow. Hallelujah. Pour it out in Jesus' name. We just say more, Lord. Increase. Increase it. Hallelujah. It's going to draw people. There's going to be unbelievers that come in here and in the middle of worship, God is going to speak to their heart, convict them, minister to them, pour His Spirit out on them, draw them to the cross. In Jesus' name, pour it out. Pour it out on each one. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, we receive it, Lord. We receive it, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord. We just say more, Lord. Let it bubble up. Let it rise up within them. Hallelujah. Let them step into that. We're not going to give in to fear. We're not going to give in to feelings of inadequacy. Let a boldness and a courage rise up within them to say, Lord, we're stepping into the dream. We're stepping into that word. Hallelujah. It's not about us. It's about You. It's not about our glory. It's about Your glory. Hallelujah. Pour it out, Lord. In Jesus' name. Whew. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Let the river flow. Let the river flow. Would you say more, Lord? More, Lord. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Just soak them. Soak them today. Saturate them in Your presence today, Lord. Saturate them in Your presence. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we just pray for each one of us, Lord. There's a dream and a vision that You place deep within our heart. Lord, I'm praying that for each and every one, Father, that You will help them draw that vision out. Lord, in the days and the weeks and the months ahead, that vision will become more clear and more clear and more clear. As they spend time with You in the secret place, as they begin to write that vision down, there's going to come a clarity. There's going to come a clarity as You write. There's going to be an anointing as You write. Holy Spirit's going to use that pen as You put the pen to paper. And it won't be just Your words. The Holy Spirit will be working through and inspiring. Don't just think it, ink it. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord. We want to be people of vision. Thank You, Lord. Hallelujah. Well, can somebody say God is good all the time? Hallelujah. If you need prayer, for anything, healing or anything else, come on down. We'll pray for you. Otherwise, you're free to go. Have a great Sunday afternoon.